Okay, we're going to go through a little bit of the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and 13 today. It's really a fun study, especially in light of kind of our world today. I do have a picture up there of, can you put up that one right there? Double click that one that's on yours. Yeah, I have a picture of this because this will be pertinent information for us. Simply because the eastern part of the Roman Empire, which was once the Roman Empire, is the eastern part of it is now fully Islamic, other than one place, and that's Israel. Israel stands alone as the non-Muslim country in this region. The reason why it's interesting is because of another slide. And could you bring up the Daniel 7 slide? In the Old Testament, you have prophetic books. You have, you know, Daniel's one of the big ones. And he has an image of these, or a vision of these three images. And the images are supposed to be of actually world empires. And the purpose of Daniel getting these visions from God is because it has to do with how Israel would be treated. See, God is always concerned with Israel, right? They are the apple of his eye. Zechariah says, they are his chosen people. He entered into a marriage with them. Have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? That's actually a marriage covenant. God actually entered into a marital covenant with his people, Israel. It's kind of cool that God created marriage in the covenant of marriage when people say their vows to one another to mimic God's vow to his people. That's why we do it. We actually are mimicking what the Bible talks about as God made vows to the people. It said, hey man, I love you guys. You guys are awesome. I want to be with you. Man, I'm going to be your God, and you guys are going to be my people. And the people said, yeah, and they entered into the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So any nation that comes against Israel, the Bible says, actually comes against Yahweh, actually comes against Jehovah God. God. That's how gnarly it is. And that's why it's cool whenever like a professor or you're in college and they doubt the Bible, they say, ah, oh, the Bible's full of junk, blah, 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 blah. You can always say, hey, do you have a map, professor? Yeah. And just go to it and just go, hey, there's a country, a little country. It's called Israel. Like, where did they come from? Because the history of Israel is the Old Testament. That is. That's why in college you have what's called biblical archaeology. You can major in that. You can become an archaeologist in biblical stuff that you're finding under the ground. Why? Because the Bible's stinking true, right? If the Bible was once upon a time, Darth Vader lived far, far in a galaxy named Kolob, and it was very cool. And what he did there is he really had an enemy called Luke Skywalker, and he had a sword. You know what I mean? And the professor's like, that's garbage. And you raise your hand. You're like, no way, dude. Darth Vader really is out there, bro. And he's like, oh, no. And you're like, no, he is, right? And you really had no proof, right? The professor would just be like, you're kind of weird, right? Yeah, but if you have a map, right, of the world, and you're able to go, oh, well, there's Israel, and that's where, you know, the Bible speaks of these places. And people take it seriously. Tom was just telling me that Sodom, actually, the ruins of Sodom have just been recently uncovered, you know. And that's how it is. That's what bibliarchaeologists do, is they uncover things of the Bible. And so whenever someone says, oh, the Bible's fake, or it's been changed a million times, it's all blah, 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 it's all a bunch of malarkey. Those are arguments I used to make. You know, that was what I used to tell Christians all the time. Dude, you guys changed it forever. You know why? Because you want our money. And it's all about fear in the people. You know what I mean? And people would be like, whoa, that sounds really cool, Bo. You know, you're really eclectic. You know? But did I really know what I was talking about? None, dude. I was just talking out of my butt, man. I was just reiterating my culture. That's all I was doing, is reiterating my culture, you know. The Bible is true. History bears it out over and over. There's a wonderful new documentary on Netflix about the Exodus. Man, you guys should watch it. It's just absolutely phenomenal. I think you watched it. I know I watched it. But it's amazing, man, of biblical archaeologists going through things. But any nation that goes against Israel is kind of, they're on alert, And so whenever you're talking about the end of the world, always remember that the main concern of God is Israel. And that's why Daniel had his vision, because all these nations, which are represented by animals, went and oppressed Israel. One of them was Babylon, one was the Medo-Persian Empire, one of them was the Empire of Greece. Now that's important to remember, and the last one was the one of Rome, which turned into this funky creature there. He doesn't know if this was actually the creature, but it's something with 10 horns, and 3 are plucked out, one raises up. It's just really a crazy description. But anyway, it's Rome was the fourth empire that turned into this crazy looking beast. And it's important to remember that, because if you go back to the other slide with the nations, you'll see Babylon is modern day. No. Iraq, right? I got busted the other day because when you're talking to a person from the Middle East, if you say Iraq, they go, what? They're like, it's Iraq. Iran. Yeah, because they were like, just like, what? Dude, Iraq. Sounds kind of redneck. Anyway. Yeah, it is redneck. That's right. Okay, So Babylon was the first animal Daniel saw, and it was Iraq. I mean, Babylon is located in Iraq. The Medo-Persia Empire is today. And by the way, is Iraq in red? Yes, obviously it is, unless you're colorblind. And what that represents on this is that you are an Islamic nation. You know, Iraq wasn't always Islamic. Babylon wasn't always Islamic. And remember that too, because none of these nations were Islamic. They were taken over by Islam by force. Muhammad, when he fled from Mecca into Medina and went nuts on a warpath, he forced people to come and convert. For those of you who were in Sunday's message in the big church, I showed a slide, right, of the many millions and millions. I think it was 60 million Christians that were put to death, 80 million Africans. I mean, you thought Hitler was bad? You know, the past wars that have happened from Islam have been absolutely horrendous compared to Adolf Hitler. These aren't things that your history people want to talk about too much, unfortunately, because there is some kind of stigma that when you talk about Islamic history, it's kind of like something you're not supposed to talk about. It's like an offense. You know what I mean? And that's why when you're in school, you'll never hear a professor ever bash on Muhammad or Allah or anything like that. But you will hear a professor bash on Jesus Christ. And you will hear a professor bash on the Bible. So there's some form of this double standard that's happening. And it's happened for a long period of time. Now, if we go back to the other slide, you'll see that the next vision that Daniel had after the lion was the bear, which is the Medo-Persian Empire. Go back to the other one. And that is, where is Persia today? No. No. You'll get it right, brother. You'll get it right. Iran. Okay. That's right. So that's the Persian world. That is the Persian world. So when you watch 300 and you see the Persian Empire going up against the Spartans, you know, that is the empire. The empire is located in modern-day Iran. Okay? So that's what that is. Now, is Iran Islamic? Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Yeah, it is. Okay. So, and then we look at the other one with I keep flipping you back and forth. But now the third one was the leopard, which was Daniel had a vision of Greece, what's called Asia Minor today, which is located in Turkey, that's right. If you go to the map, you'll look at Turkey today. And Turkey is a what? Today it's an Islamic nation, right? It wasn't always that. You guys have heard of Constantinople, right? Constantinople obviously was a Christian place. It was part of Christendom during the time of the emperor, Constantine of Rome, 370, somewhere around there, after the death of Christ. And he made that the eastern capital of the Roman Empire. And it stayed that way until the Islamic armies came against it. I showed you guys a really cool graphic, remember last week, of the Islamic imperialistic wars that went on in that region. It was really cool how it took over that, and France and Spain and just all over the place. And that's why the Crusades happened, right? That's why you've heard of the Crusades. Everybody heard of the Christian Crusades? And that we heard about how bad they were, right? How Christians were awful, how they did the awful thing, right? Right? But what you're not told is that the Islamic world conquered Spain, South France, South Italy, all of Asia Minor, all of Turkey, half of Africa, all of India, was moving east, north, south, almost in all those continents, right? So that's why it happened. So we see Iran is Islamic too. We saw Turkey was. We see Iraq is. Now, this whole area is part of what we know as the Eastern Roman Empire. And that's important because in the last days it says that an empire would happen that would consist of 10 nations, 10 kingdoms basically, would come together and be a part of a fight against Israel. Now, could that happen today? Yeah. Libya's Islamic, Egypt Islamic, Jordan Islamic, right? We got Lebanon Islamic, Syria Islamic, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Kurdistan, Turkey. There's 10 right there, right? That surround Israel, right? Islam teaches, right? I already quoted to you the Ayatollah Khomeini, right? One of the main imams or pastors of Islamic world. One of the main guys who I read to you his thoughts on Israel and wanting to annihilate them. So we live in a time that's very interesting because you have a lot of things in place that are right there. And the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." So if you don't have the love of truth, you don't just know truth, but you actually have a love for truth. And that's an important, I think, distinction there, you know, in the scriptures, is that you don't just know what's true, but if I don't love what is true, I won't go to it. You know, I can know that something's right, but just because I know something's right doesn't mean I'm going to go that direction. Does that make sense? I know porn isn't good for me. I know it's not. I've known that for a long time. But just because I know that truth has not stopped me from viewing pornography. Does that make sense? Yeah, right? We all understand that, right? What stops me from viewing pornography is having a love for the truth. Yeah, it's having like a love for it. You know what I mean? And when I have a love for the truth, then, man, I go after it. So you guys kind of get it, right? Is that you have to have a love for the truth. You can't just know it, right? So like the first kind of admonishment tonight is, do you have a love for the truth? You know, that's something to write down in your tabs, right? To put it on your notes on your phone. Help me to love truth. You know what I mean? Because sometimes if you don't love truth when the chips are down, and when Jesus does say in John chapter 16, verse 2, that there will become a time where people will kill you thinking that they do God a service, right? They will shout that they are serving God when they kill you, Allahu Akbar, right? God is great when they're cutting off your heads, right? That's what people do in this world we live in today, right? Yep. That's what a group of people do that hate Jews and hate the offspring of Judaism, which is Christianity. Because Christianity is just fulfilled Judaism. You guys understand that, right? When you guys say, I'm Christian, what you're saying is, I believe in the Jew, Jesus. I am engrafted into Judaism. In a sense, you are from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob now by faith. You associate with the God of those dudes, the Hebrew nation. And so you are a weapon, or you are on, I should say, a target for all that. Right? So if we get in a plane today and we go to these places, now Turkey has mild persecution, right? So it's, we might be able to get our Bibles in some areas of these places and be okay. But you know what? I mean, a lot of them we won't, right? A lot of them, if we all got in a plane and we went to Saudi Arabia, it's going to be rough. And if we go to Iran and we just get dropped off there with our Bible, right? And Grace is walking down there with her Goldilocks brown, blonde hair, right? Not in this country. Bam, jail, bye-bye, right? They even have women police on the streets, women that will monitor you and make sure that, what are you wearing? Music? There's no music in an Islamic Sharia law place. Music is disallowed. Music is of the enemy. You know? So yeah, it's radical, right? The world is a crazy place, right? And the Bible says, hey, it's going to be that way. The Bible predicts these things happening. Okay? So Daniel predicted that the latter world empire that would come on the scene would actually encompass all of these other empires that were already kind of given in visions to the prophets, to Daniel, Babylon, Medes and the Persians, Greece. They would all be a part of the last world empire, or the last, let's say, the Antichrist's empire. Okay? So let's go into Revelation and we'll read a little more about this world coming to an end, if you will. And chapter 12 is about Satan and his hatred for the Jewish people. That's really what chapter 12 is about. Now, when you get to chapter 13, and we'll read chapter 12, but when you get to chapter 13, I want you to see some things. It says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns, and all on his head a blasphemous name." You have a lot of similarity in Revelation from the other prophets of the Bible in visions. But what Revelation does is it kind of like, it adds more to it. And not only does it add more to it, but it also helps us as readers refer back to the prophet that had the first vision of this. And we look at his vision and we see some interesting truths that aren't mentioned in Revelation that help us even grab more of what's being spoken of here. I already told you about the 10 horns of the book of Daniel, chapter 7, that was on that last beast, right? That would represent the end time kind of group of empires that are against the Jewish people. 10 horns. Well, you see 10 horns are on this animal as well, with 10 crowns. And if we flip over, and we're going to be here a lot, Revelation chapter 17, and you want to go there, because it's going to help us interpret this madness, man, and just go, whoa. I mean, when I first read Revelation, of course, I was probably high, and I was listening to Iron Maiden, probably in the fifth grade, and I was probably had my guitar in my hand, and I think I just bought Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden, and I was in like the fifth, sixth grade, you know, and I was so blown away by it. It was my first time I ever read the Bible. Even though it was just a little snippet of it. That was my first time I ever read it. But it's so much more than what even a band like Iron Maiden spoke of. But look at chapter 17 and look at verse 12. it'll tell you what those 10 horns are. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as of yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour, or that's like a short period of time in the Bible. Usually when it says 1 hour, it doesn't mean usually literally 1 hour. It could be, but it could just be a short period of time. For 1 hour with the kings of the beast. Okay, so there are ten kings who have received no kingdom as of yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. And we're going to learn about this beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. Verse 14 is, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Okay, so we read that they're definitely going to be attacking the people of God. Okay, so we're going to see, I hope you guys understand that chapter 13 is going to be interpreted actually through chapter 17. So when we get there, we're going to want to jump to chapter 17 and then go over some cool stuff, okay? It'll be fun. We're going to go over a whore called the Mystery Babylon and that kind of stuff. So this is a fun study. But I'll try to rip through chapter 12. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her hand a garland of 12 stars. Let me just read you in the Bible where this is at. Again, another reference of this. This is chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read you Genesis 37. You guys, if you want to turn there, you can. If you want to look at it in your notes, you certainly can. But I'm going to read you a little section of this. Joseph has a dream. Joseph was a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob had a son, and his name's Joseph. He not only had that son, he had many others. Joseph had a dream, and it says, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. You guys know this as a man who wore a coat of what? That's right. And it says, look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. Which Joseph had how many brothers? 11, right? So this dream is about Joseph being the 12th. It's about his brothers, the sun, and the moon, which is kind of the idea of maybe mom and dad, you know what I mean? And his brothers are all bowing down to him. Now we see in Revelation, it says, now a great sight appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and it says, and on her head, a garland of 12 stars, which is very similar to Joseph's dream. And so we look at that and we go, maybe there's a link here. You know, and that's how we interpret the Bible, is we interpret the Bible with other passages that are similar to the one we're just reading. And that helps us get a more clarifying understanding of the passage. And Joseph was a Jew, and he was part of what made up the 12 sons of Jacob, which later became the 12 tribes of Israel, which made up the whole region in green of Israel, all the people of Israel. Okay? Those are the people that are hated by the Antichrist and his kingdom and his religion. They hate him, and we'll see why. So we look at the Revelation and we say, okay, this woman with the 12 and the sun and the moon, that sounds like very Jewish, like we're talking about Israel. This woman is clothed, she's a representation of Israel. Then being with child, now check this out, the woman has a child and she cried out in labor in pain to give birth in verse 2 and verse 3. Then another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. That's interesting because remember Daniel had his last beast had 10 horns and that was supposed to be the end time kind of ruler against Israel, you know. And this one has 7 heads, okay, and 7 crowns on his head. And we'll kind of figure that out. But first, let's figure out who the dragon is. And the book of Revelation tells us who that is. It says in verse 2 of chapter 20, I'll read you that. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil, or Satan, and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So we know that the dragon that's being spoken of there is Satan represented there, having these heads, having 10 horns, and we're going to go to Revelation chapter 17 and find out who those 7 heads are. Okay, because that's going to be an interesting thing. And that's when we'll use this. It'll be fun. It says, with his tail, he drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Now, have you ever heard that Satan was cast out of heaven and took with him a third of the angels? Have you guys ever heard that? That's this passage right here that's being spoken of. That the dragon, Satan, with his tail, it says, it's the symbolism, he takes people with him, these angels. That's what we call usually demons, is fallen angels. And stars are represented as angels in the book of Job. If you read the book of Job, when it talks about stars, the stars sang when the worlds were created. Music was being played, man. Isn't that cool? Music was happening when God created. What was going on when God created? Music. That's why music is so powerful, for good or bad. You know, music's very powerful. If you're in a crappy mood and you're all into self-pity and you're like, man, my girlfriend left me. You know, you put on some sad tune that you just love and you just get into it. You know what I mean? Now you really cry. Now everything really sucks. You know what I mean? I mean, I used to listen to a band called Queensryche. Remember Queensryche, dude? All the time, dude. When I was in junior high, man, Queensryche were like huge, man. And this dude, Jeff Tate, just, whoa, he just sang, man. He was like, whoa, bro, that dude's amazing. And he had these sad songs, dude. He had these, like, you know, these sad tunes, man. Remember those tunes? Those sad ones, The Lady Wore Black, and these songs were sad. And I remember, dude, getting dissed by, you know, my girlfriend, and I was just, like, so bummed. You know, and I was some stupid little punk kid who should never be dating anyway. But I was just so emotional. I remember, you know, just crying and putting on Queensryche and just wallowing in my self-loathing. You know, just yuck, dude. And it was awesome. I remember just thinking, oh, I hate this, but I love it. You know, kind of feel. You know, and that's what music does. I mean, music gets us into emotions, and that's why we have to watch what we play and what we listen to. Dude, I know dudes who are trying to get off drinking and drugs, and I go, what do you listen to? They go, oh, dude, I'm listening to, you know, I'm listening to Korn every day. You know, and I'm just like, well, did you listen to Korn when you were doing a lot of drug abuse? And they're like, well, yeah, that was one of the bands I like. And I'm like, dude, then what are you doing? You know what I mean? Then why are you listening to it? You know what I mean? Does it remind you of that? He goes, yeah. And I'm like, well, it puts you right back. You know, it's like when you listen to, you know, like when I think of Led Zeppelin, dude, I think of pot. I don't know about you guys. I think of bongs. You know what I mean? Because as a little kid, I remember going over to people's houses and their brothers, their older brothers, would have Zeppelin shirts on and Zeppelin posters on. And, dude, they'd have a bong on their coffee table. You know what I mean? And it was just like, dude, Zeppelin or Aerosmith or stuff like that. I always thought, dude, those are pop bands, man. People just smoke out to that stuff. When I think of Grateful Dead, what do I think of? Acid, dude. What do I think of acid? Because growing up, whenever you thought Grateful Dead, I'm going to a Grateful Dead concert. What was it? Acid, dude. That's what it was, you know? When you listen to trippy music, it was shrooms. It was, you know what I mean? And there was all these drug associations with music. Satan has taken music that at the creation, man, angels were singing. It was beautiful. Even Lucifer, it says, who is the devil, in Ezekiel 28, was a chief cherub, and music was a part of his creation. You know what I mean? It's a no wonder that our world is so influenced in a negative way by music. You know, so the stars represent angels, and it says the tail drew a third of the angels of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth. So the dragon is standing before the woman. He's the doctor. He's wanting to deliver the baby, right? Is that the picture? Not really, right? It's right. But and it says to devour the child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Bam! What passage is that? When you hear that, rod of iron, what passage comes to your mind? No, Psalm chapter 2. You know what I mean? Psalm chapter 2 is a famous psalm that was written 1,000 years before Jesus. It's amazing because it talks about God having a son. And it talks about God having a son who would rule the nations with a rod of iron. So when Revelation says the woman is going to give birth to a son who's going to rule the nations with the rod of iron, it's talking about Jesus. Jesus is going to come and be birthed through the nation of what? Israel. Nazarene. Yep, he was a Nazarene. He's from Nazareth. Right? But he was being born through the woman who's a representation of Israel, right? 12 tribes of Israel, 12 stars, right? The family of Israel, the moon and the star, the mom and the dad, the family of Israel there, you know, which is represented in Genesis 37. Okay, so, and then it says, the woman fled into the wilderness. It says, oh, by the way, it says that he would rule with a rod of iron, and the child was caught up to God and to his throne. Huh. Was the son of Israel ever caught up? Did he ever get caught up into heaven? Jesus died, he rose again, and then he ascended. And where is he at? It says, to the right hand of the Father. It's pretty radical. So it's talking about the ascension. Okay, and then it says, the woman fled into the wilderness. And that's important because the Bible places a lot of stress on that too in the Old Testament, that Israel at some point will be persecuted so bad as a nation that they will go into the wilderness and they will meet God face to face there. They will have an encounter with God like no other encounter with God. You guys can read Genesis or Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 36. If you want to look up passages like that, or Hosea chapter 2 is another one that talks about that too, where they will meet, God and Israel will meet in the wilderness. And it says, then where she has a place prepared by God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days, which is how long? Three and a half years. Okay, so for 3.5 years, Israel will be under extreme persecution. And this is kind of, hopefully, I know this is a lot of stuff, but I hope this Bible study is cool because you guys can go, man, you know what? The Bible is true. This stuff's getting ready to happen. You know, people are hating Israel more and more. People are bummed. Even the United States is like, Israel? Forget it. And what's sad is even this country is sending financial assistance to the countries that are in the red. That's the crazy part about what we're doing in our country. But so it says that Israel will be taken care of, and then it says war broke out in heaven. Michael the archangel and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels, and they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven anymore. So the great dragon, verse 9, was cast out, that serpent of old, the devil and Satan, who deceives the world. That's his job, is to deceive you guys, to trick you, to think that you can go away from God and be okay. That's Satan's number one duty, is just to say, hey, deception. If I can get you off of the truth, the love of the truth, and I can get you to go your own way and live your own life the way you want to live, then he wins. And then it says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and kingdom belong to our God, and the power of Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, that's what Satan is called, the accuser of you, he accuses you, accuses us before God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, meaning these dudes who have to go through this persecution of this dragon, is you gotta love God. You have to love God, man. You gotta love the truth so much you're willing to lay down your neck for it. That's how hardcore. This is happening today, as I spoke on Sunday with our Coptic Christian brothers in Egypt. 21 of them died in Libya, and many others dying today, even kids. I was reading the other day that one Christian kid got crucified. You know, so they're doing crucifixions, beheadings in Sudan that happened. The crucifixions are happening to children. Women are just going through extreme. I always tell you guys, women are going through hell right now in the world. I mean, literal hell. If you're a woman and you live in United States, Canada, Australia, Europe, and South America, parts of, you better be very, very happy. You should never complain in your life. Because if you live in those other parts of the world, dang, not fun. Not fun. Especially to be a Christian. You know, that's for sure. But you know what? They're doing it with joy, man. They're laying down their life for the Lord because they go, man, we got an eternal kingdom. This one sucks anyway. Let's go. You know what I mean? So they're hardcore, man. They're dying with extreme love in their heart for Jesus. Therefore, rejoice, verse 12. Rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Right, this is Iron Maiden. Right, I always think of Iron Maiden, man. Woe to you of earth and sea. Right, for the, you know, because this is the part before the song. And it says, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows his time is short. So now when the red dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. Who's the woman? Representation of who? Israel. So the dragon persecutes who? Israel. Who's the dragon? Satan. What's his main target? Israel. Now, I want you guys to know that that is not just a New Testament thing. On page 2 of your Bible, it tells you that this is going to happen. Okay? A lot of people just don't read their Bible, so they don't read the second page. You know what I mean? But actually, it's not on the second page. It's on like the third. Sorry. Actually, on my Bible, it's 4. If I had a bigger Bible, it would be 2. Now, it says in verse 15 about the dragon and the woman. It talks to the dragon. God talks to the dragon and the woman. Isn't that interesting? We just got done a chapter in Revelation, last book of the Bible. It's talking about the dragon and the woman. It's kind of weird that the 4th page of the Bible would bring up what's going on here. It says when the fall happened, it says this, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the other cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. There's going to be a humbling with Satan. And I will put enmity, hatred, between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed. And it says, and he shall bruise your head. The son, the seed of the woman, is going to bruise your head. Blow to a head, a crushing blow, right? If you get knocked in the head good, guess what happens? You're dead, right? If I shoot you in the head, are you going to go? Are you going to go down? Probably dead, right? Yeah, probably. Right? Okay, now, but it says, and you, Satan, shall bruise his, the son's, heel. If I shoot you in the heel, are you going to live? Yeah, I hope so, unless it's a sawed-off shotgun and the spray is like, you know what I mean? Unless it's like a bad, you know, shotgun that's just going to blow. I mean, the bullet just blows out everywhere. You know what I mean? But if I just have a 22 and I shoot myself in the head, I'm probably dying, right? But if I shoot myself in the heel, I'm going to just be in a ton of pain, right? I'll be screaming for you guys to get me to the hospital. I'll live. I'll be fine. It's a heel. But so the idea is that the woman and the son, there's something about the woman and her offspring. Page 4 of my Bible. Isn't that cool? Page stinking 4. Of the Bible. Bible's written over 1400 to 1600 years on 3 different continents by over 40 authors. Most of them didn't even know each other. Miracle. Absolute miracle. The Bible is absolutely a stinking crazy book. Miracle. These things are all being spoken of by people who didn't even know each other. Bam. So specific, right? It's awesome. So the serpent comes after the woman and her seed, which is the Jewish people who gave birth to Jesus, because he knows that the birth of the son from the Jewish line is going to ruin him. That's what's going to happen. Okay, so let's go on. It says the dragon was enraged in verse 17 with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. There it is right there, the rest of her offspring, who did keep the commands of God and have testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, so that is what Satan is after. He is after you, right? And his nation will be raised up to hate you. This is what his nation is going to be. Do we see that today? We see this nation, this group of people, right? And actually goes, if you went down, we'd go into Sudan. There's other places too that are all Islamic. But these, like I told you guys, these people, they have a problem with you if you believe in this. Big problem. And this is what the Antichrist will go. Now, I stood on the sand of the sea, and the sea is usually a picture in the Bible of people, tribes, nations, tongues. I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, out of the nations, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now, that beast I saw, check out verse 2 of chapter 13. Does this sound kind of familiar? The beast I saw was like a leopard. That sounds kind of familiar. Huh? The feet were like the feet of a bear. Bear, that sounds like something I've read before. And the mouth was like that of a lion. That's kind of weird. Bring up Daniel chapter 7 again, Tom, on the slide. Daniel had a vision, right? What were some of the animals that he listed? Right there. There it is. Right? No, it's not. I don't know what happened. Anyway, there it is right there. So we got the similar visions from a prophet who spoke, 500 or 600 years before John wrote the book of Revelation. And he says, in John's vision, he says, okay, the last empire is going to have the similarities of these creatures, of these kingdoms in it. Persia, Asia Minor, Babylon. Right? All these people, all in the red. All in the red. And his mouth was like the mouth of the lion, and the dragon gave him power, his throne, and great authority. So this beast rising out of the sea is a nation. It is it's a group of people, if you will, that have in its makeup all of these. Okay, parts of them, all of them are similar to this in that they hated Israel and went after Israel. So they would be like this too and go after Israel as well. Now, if we go to, flip over to, or verse 3, before flip over to 17, let's go to verse 3. Then I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Interesting, okay? So this, at some point, this is going to be a big deal. Now, there's going to be a semi-resurrection of this rising of this beast, this nation, if you will come out of the people. And go to verse 17, and we want to go through the interpretation to try to figure this out. Because it's fun. I mean, I have to like get out stuff and kind of write stuff down, and I'm going to try to do this for you guys. Now, in chapter 17, it says, the beast, verse 8, that you saw was, this is 17:8, and is not, will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition, Satan, and those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. They will marvel at him. They don't know the truth. They're not lovers of the truth. When they see the beast that was, is not, and yet is, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. Now, mountains in your Bible don't mean just mountains, like a mountain. Okay, there's Catalina Mountains. You know, but actually in other parts of the Bible, Isaiah chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7. Let's see if I can do this. Let me do it back here. That way you guys could see it. Daniel chapter 2 talks about that Jesus' kingdom is actually going to be hewn out of the mountain. It will be like a rock, a mountain. And it talks about his kingdom being like that, like a mountain. So mountains is a reference a lot of times in the Bible to a kingdom or a nation. And it says that the seven heads are seven It says right there, seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. We haven't talked about the men or the woman yet. We will. Verse 10 says, there are also seven kings. Five of them have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. Huh, it sounds kind of interesting and kind of weird, right? Now, these are mountains. These are Bose Mountains. They're not too cool looking. But the point is this. It says there's going to be kings. Seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. The woman is a representation of women usually in the Bible. Like when it talks about like a metaphorical term or metaphorical use of women, it's saying that they are, there's a religious aspect, meaning God talks about Israel as a woman. Does that make sense? The woman is a representation of a nation too. And you see that in Ezekiel 16, where you see it all over the Bible. We just saw it in Revelation chapter 12, right? Where Israel was a represented by the woman. Okay. Now, when a woman goes into whoredom, when she becomes a harlot, the Bible speaks of that greatly, right? The Old Testament is filled with that. And what that means is that the woman, the nation, has turned their back on God. Right? And like Jeremiah would cry out, one of the Old Testament prophets would cry out to his people and say, why are you doing this? He would say, why would you change your God? Why would you change the true and living God and not listen to him and go after idols? You have played the whore. Does that make sense? So he uses the word whore to describe their religious apostasy. Does that make sense? And that's how the term is used. That's why the word whore, whoredom, whoremongering is used all the time in the Old Testament. And that's why it's brought up again in the New Testament in the last days. The woman who rides the beast. What is this world kind of, what is the beast going to have on top? What's going to be riding that beast? Right? Jezebel is a term that's used for a whoredom kind of woman in the Bible. But it's going to be a apostasy, meaning a leaving of the faith, a turning to something horrible, a total distortion of God, right? And it's going to be, and it's been in all those kingdoms that came before. All those kingdoms had this apostasy in their own religious lives. They did not worship the true and living God. They committed whoredom. That's how the Bible would put it. Pretty tough word, right? You know, to use. But that's how the Bible describes this, okay? So it talks about seven heads being seven mountains or nations having seven kings. And it gives us a little insight into them in chapter 17. What does it tell us in verse 10? It says five of them have what? Okay, so five have fallen. Okay, so we have five fallen kingdoms. And then it says, one is. Huh, that's interesting. John is living, right? John the writer is living. He's like, one is. One is. Now, present. Okay, so one is. So we got five fallen. One, two, three, four, five. Right? And the fifth one, right? Is that the one? Five have fallen. One is. So the sixth one is where he's at, right? Okay, so we see the sixth one. And we'll try to figure this out together. That's what I like about this. Right? So the sixth one is where John's at. This is the writer. Okay? Let's see if we get this. And then it says, okay, five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when it comes, it must continue a short time. And the other has not yet come. So this one hadn't happened in John's day. Okay? Doesn't seem to have happened yet. That's what he says. Does that make sense? Okay. So we see that these are nations. and they have kings, you know, and kings don't rule little houses, right? Kings rule what? Kingdoms. Okay, so we look at the Bible and we look at kingdoms that have been against Israel. Okay, maybe Egypt. Wouldn't you say Egypt was against Israel? Okay, what's the other one? What's another one? Okay, Babylon. Okay, let's put Babylon down. What's another one? Okay, let's put Greece. Let's put Rome. Any other ones? We got Persia. Assyria. Okay, those are it. Those are the ones that I know of that are in the Bible, that the Bible speaks of these places. And if you read of all the judgments in the Old Testament that are going to happen, God is going to come in Ezekiel 19. Jesus is going to come riding on a swift horse, the Bible says, on a cloud. It says he's going to come to the earth. It's kind of a crazy picture. Well, where is he going? Egypt. Watch that. And then he's going to annihilate Egypt. Pretty radical. Is Egypt in red, by the way? Yeah. It says he's going to come to Elam. Elam is what? Elam is Iran. It's another word for Persia. It says he's going to come there too, and he's going to have to deal with them. Is that going to happen? Yeah. What does he say he's going to do to Babylon? It says he's going to wipe that out too. You know what I mean? What does he say he's going to do to Pergamos? No, he says he's going to wipe it out too. You know, he actually says Satan's seat is in Pergamos in the book of Revelation, which is very interesting, which is in Asia Minor. You know? Rome? We don't get much about God coming to Rome. Very interesting. All these other ones? Are they all Islam today? Yes. All of them are Islam. Are they all in red? Huh, it's kind of interesting. You guys getting puzzles together? Dee, 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 right? We are living in the end times. I hope this is coming across that we aren't whistling Dixie here. You know what I mean? This is really, really coming to the end. Rome, the western part of Rome today, what was known back then as the western part of Rome today, what was the headquarters of the western part of Rome? It wasn't Constantinople, it was Rome. Where's Rome? Italy, right? Does the Bible concentrate on God judging that part, Italy, at all? Does it ever say it's going to judge Italy? No. But it says it will judge Pergamos, Pergamos is eastern Rome. Sorry, I don't have to write that, I'll just tell you. It's eastern Rome. That's Constantinople, that's Asia Minor. That's those areas, you know. So when you look at all of them now, do all of them have an Islamic bent? Yeah, all of them do. Because Rome actually is the eastern block of Rome. If you guys ever doubt that, just read Daniel chapter 11. It talks all about that region as being where the Antichrist will come out of. Now let's look at the mountains and let's try to put this in to see if we're getting anywhere with this stuff. So the first one was Egypt, because that was the one that first happened in the Bible. The second one was the Assyrian Empire. That happened. And then after that was the Babylonian Empire that was against Israel. Okay. And then after that was the Persian Empire that came. Then after them was Alexander the Great in Greece, Turkey. Okay. And then after Greece was John lived, and he lived under the eastern part of what nation? Rome. And then, do we got them all? Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, six, which is, and the other has not yet come. Now, what happened after Rome? Wrong. After Rome, the Israel people were dispersed, and a nation came in to the eastern part of Rome, which that's what the Bible talks about, is the eastern part of Rome, and it never talks about the western part. It always talks about the eastern part. And the nation took over the eastern part. Because what color is it now? It's red. That's right. And when did that happen? What was that empire called? Does anybody know what the empire was? They're still at war today. It's sad you guys don't know that. But, well, ISIS is a part of that empire. But what is the empire that came in? Gigantic. It's amazing how history in college doesn't teach you. Nope, not Germans. It shouldn't. I know it should be taught. I should have learned this in junior high probably, but people don't teach it. No, there was an empire that went at war for years and years and years and years and years. The Islamic nation, what were they called? The Ottoman Empire. That's right. Okay. Okay, so we have here's the mind which is wisdom. Seven heads are seven mountains, the nations in which the woman sits. A woman, Babylon, the harlot, the apostasy religions have been in all of these nations, right? All have been apostate. All have hated the Jewish people because of their God, how they worship God, and their religious zeal for the invisible God. They don't worship idols, right? And we might think, oh, well, you know what? Islam doesn't worship idols at all. You know, they might not do that at all, you know. And that's cool. I mean, I'm glad you think that, you know. But we'll just, you know, it's better to look at stuff, you know what I mean, get pictures of stuff. Yeah, I did. Sorry. But in the other cultures, they all worshipped this stone as another name for actually the Queen of Heaven. That's what it became a representation of. And it fell into Islamic hands, this stone that they call the Black Stone, which they are worshipping in that video. They are actually encircling what's called the Kaaba, or the house of the sacred stone. But they are circling seven times around the house, the Kaaba of the sacred black stone, to touch it, to kiss it, to stroke it, and to bow to it. And this is what Israel people, the Jews, the writers, the people of the Old Testament would call what? Bowing down to the Kaaba in a black stone, encircling it seven times and touching it and worshiping it. What would we call that? An idol. And so this is what the nation would do. This is what all these nations would do. Assyria, Greece, Rome, Egypt. We see it even into China, Mexico, Scandinavia. But do we see it with our nations that are represented, that the dragon has? That the representations of his heads, the nations, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, all these different ones, they all had different versions of this. Is it being worshipped today? Yeah. Same thing's happening today. It's kind of weird if you read Acts chapter 19 in your Bible, it actually says something really spooky. It's kind of weird. Because it's, I'll just read it to you guys. It says in Acts chapter 35, Paul was ministering there and the Ephesians worshipped Diana. And they worshipped, check this out. And it says, the city clerk in verse 35 had quieted the crowd. He said, men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of Ephesus, the Ephesians, is temple guardian to the great Diana? Where's Diana on that list? Dionysus. Yep. So there you go. So the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Zeus out of the sky. See, it's been going on forever. All the nations have been worshiping things in the sky, things that have fallen out of the sky. This is why in the Old Testament it always says, don't worship the stars, don't worship things that come out, don't worship the sun, don't worship the moon, right? Where does Allah get its name? What does Allah mean? Allah was the name of the moon god. It was a title of the moon god in Saudi Arabia. That's what the pagans worshipped, was Allah. But it was one of many pagan gods that they had. Muhammad said, no, Allah is not just God, he is the only God. And that's where Muhammad differed. Very interesting. Crazy, huh? Circling around that thing? Just to get to the black stone? And just to kiss it? Yeah. Yeah, but billions of people take the Hajj every year and go there and do it. Right? The end times, it says that the beast would have seven heads on it. And John told us that one is in his day. It's a nation that is in his day. And then there would be a latter one, the Ottoman Empire. And it says this Ottoman Empire one, I read to you, that the head of this would be, there would be a bruising of the head. Look at, I'll end here, I guess. But let me go to Revelation 13, verse 3. I saw one of his heads, meaning one of the nations, as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled. Meaning there's going to be a head wound to the Ottoman Empire. Did that happen? It certainly did. Meaning the Ottoman Empire came to a halt in, I think, the early 1900s. After World War I, the caliphate, the head of the empire, the Islamic nation, was basically disintegrated. And the Islamic world was cut up into pieces as dead. But today we are seeing a rise of what? Is the Islamic nation wanting to once again unite. And if that happens, that's pretty radical. In a sense, that nation is resurrecting. A lot of times when we thought of the Antichrist, we used to think of it as an individual person, right? He would get like hit in the head and then he would rise up from the dead. But it says that it's one of the heads, and the heads of the nations. So it's one of the nations that seems to have died and gone away, but is going to get resurrected. A nation is going to get rebirthed and going to move forward. And what I'm saying is that we live in a time where if you don't love the truth, and we don't really pursue these things and learn more about biblical prophecy and what the Bible's teaching, then it's going to be easy for us to ignore things and just go, oh man, and say things that don't make sense, say things that aren't true, and say things like, oh man, I would never, you know, like, oh, that person, I would never, you know, it's fine if they're president, it's fine if this person does this, it's fine, it doesn't matter what you believe. No, it matters what you believe, bro. It does, man. Because I believe in Jesus, that he is the risen Christ, he's the risen Lord, he's the fulfillment of the Old Testament, that he is God in human flesh, and he taught me to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. Don't take that for granted, young people. Do you know not all religions think that way about you? They don't think, love your neighbor. Is that going to be taught by the world Antichrist system? Loving your neighbor? Just love your neighbor, man. That's what we teach. You think that's going to be taught by them? No. Do you think that was taught by Egypt, Babylon, Greece, Persia? Any of those nations? No. So when you guys speak and you speak and you say, oh, well, it's fine if that person, I don't want to judge them, you know, whatever they believe is fine. Wrong answer. Wrong, bad logic. Stupid logic. Foolish logic. No, dude, what you believe matters. Absolutely. And if someone doesn't believe something correct, I don't stink and want them in my house. Meaning if someone says, hey, you know what? I don't believe in love your neighbor. I don't believe in being compassionate. I believe in harm to your kids. I don't let that person in my house. Jesus said, man, be smart. The thief comes in to break in and steal. To, you know, he says, man, know when he's coming. Get ready. Get prepared. You know, don't let someone just break into your house. Know what's going on. And so in your life, look at what's going on. Are you letting things just break into your life that you need to look at and you have to go, no? Because that's deception. That's wrong. That's coming to tear you down. It's trying to move you away from the truth to where you get to places where you go, you know what? I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. I just really don't. Never mind the map. Never mind Israel. Never mind crazy prophecy, right? Never mind biblical archaeology. Throw it all away. Because I'm going to believe in my college professor who's going to live till he's 75 years old. Bad choice. Bad choice. That professor has probably changed his mind on subjects 25 times in his life. And he probably will before he dies. I wouldn't put your faith in that guy. Loving the truth. Does that make sense? That's what I want to do in my life. I hope you guys want to do that in your life too. And that means just pray. God, help me to love the truth. That's a good prayer. Help me to love. My heart doesn't want to love the truth. It wants to go another route, but help me to love it. Does that make sense? So with all the prophecy and the cool stuff we talked about, remember just the last thing, really. Ask God to help you to love the truth so that you stick to the Word and don't go beyond what is written, okay? Okay, cool. Father, we thank you so much for your Word. Your Word is beautiful, and it teaches us so much. And Lord, our heart is for the Islamic nation. And you say you love Egypt. There's a passage that says that you love them, and you love Assyria, and you're actually going to bring them together. And it's crazy to read that, that your love for people is amazing. And Lord, we realize that so many of these countries that are Muslim today weren't always like that, that they were hijacked by this Antichrist spirit, Father, that has taken over these nations and is even infiltrated so much of our own life and our own nation as well. But we pray, Lord Jesus, our hearts are to be laid down for you, and we love these people. We want to love them, Father. We want to be able to share with them and get in dialogue with them and talk to them. And we know so many Muslims don't even read their Bibles, just like so many Christians don't understand your Word, Lord. So many Muslims don't understand this stuff. And we pray that we would help them and we would teach them what your Word says about Jesus and about what he's done for them on the cross, that they can have assurance of salvation of sin. So help us to be compassionate, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love our enemies, Lord, those who even want to spitefully use us, that we would care for them and be honest with them and want to engage with them. And so we pray that all this prophetic study would help us to love and be more like Jesus in reaching out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.